Right. I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles first and foremost, actually, to Ephesians chapter 6 before we actually look at the passage of Scripture that we're going to be in today. We are going to be starting first Timothy chapter 4 and looking at the first couple of verses. And I titled this message, "The Spirit Speaks." It's actually the first of a two-part series, in a sense, that we're going to look at this week and next week, Lord willing. But I want to start in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look down in verses 10 to 12. That's just by way of introduction. And usually I put that reference, that sort of thing, if I'm having an introduction verse to the message or an outline. But this is one of those things that I looked at and saw, you know what, I need to start out today with this because of the subject matter that we're going to be looking at in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And so Ephesians chapter 6, if you're familiar with that, it deals with the main topic of dealing with the armor of God, putting on the armor of God. Why? Because we are in a warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. Now, we can look out today and look at the news, and of course, there's a lot of wars that are going on around the world. It's been that way for a very, very long time. But the war that's been raging ever since, going back to eternity past, when Lucifer, or Satan, rebelled, is a spiritual warfare that is continuing on today, and we are in the thick of it. So as believers in Christ, if we understand that if we're going to be able to be used of God to minister to others and understand really how we're going to do that with the truth of the Word of God, doctrine is very important. And the spiritual warfare that we are dealing with today is false doctrine. And so we need to understand that we are in a real spiritual battle. So if you're in Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to look down at verse 10, and again, we'll read through verse 12. It says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That is a reality of what is going on. Our battle is not one of flesh and blood. Our battle is one of dealing with the Spirit. It's dealing, in a sense, as far as Satan and his cohorts. That's what it's talking about, those principalities and powers. The rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the real battle is at, and we have to be equipped to be able to fight that battle. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, all seven pieces of the armor of God. But what we're going to be looking at today, again, is going and understanding what the Spirit is going to speak to us, the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 now. From Ephesians chapter 6 to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and actually look at our text for today. And again, we're just looking at the first two verses because there's a lot to cover in these two verses. But it says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit," capital S, that's the Holy Spirit of God, "speaketh expressly," or distinctly, "that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And so when you look at this, I mean, this ties in directly to what we just saw in Ephesians chapter 6, the spiritual wickedness in high places, all right, the principalities and the powers, all right? There are definitely, as it says here, there are seducing spirits and their doctrines of devils. These are not just words. These are just not thoughts or some sort of theory. We are talking about there really are seducing, small s, spirits that are out there. Again, we're in a spiritual warfare. You want to call them entities or whatever you want to think about it in maybe today's terms kind of thing, but that's what we're dealing with. And it says doctrines of devils, plural, you know, small g. We have the devil, Satan, but we have devils as well. Again, his minions, I like to call them, that are there, again, to try to do what? To lead people away. And that's exactly what we unfortunately are seeing. The Spirit of God is speaking expressly or distinctly, saying, hey, in the latter days, which are the days that we live in, there are going to be those that are going to depart from the faith. That's why my first point of this message is called the departed. All right? And then we're going to look at their deception in verse 2. And so there's a lot for us really that we need to understand and cover. And again, it is so important and vital that we understand this, because if we are not solid in a doctrine and truth of the Word of God that's been laid out to us, then we are susceptible to doing what? Being deceived. Being part of this crew here that's the departed. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started on what we need to see today in this passage. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, again, I thank you. And I praise you for today. Thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've shown us even last week as we specifically talk about the mystery of godliness. Understanding the gospel of grace that is laid out to us. That's how we are saved. But not only that you desire for us to be able to partake in the same glory as the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the doctrine that's laid out. Really, all of 1 Timothy chapter 3, we saw how we're supposed to behave ourselves because, again, the church is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And Lord, we need to be grounded in truth. We need to understand the solid doctrine that is laid out to us because we're in a spiritual battle for sure. And there are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that are out there to try to lead us away, to depart from the truth of the Word of God. As I stand here, I can think of people that I know, none of my brothers and sisters in Christ, that they have done that. They've actually departed from the faith, from the truth that you have laid out in the Word of God. And unfortunately, some of them are in leadership and pastoral positions that are leading others astray. Now, Father, I pray that you would meet with us, open our hearts and minds, let us understand the reality of the spiritual warfare. Let us understand what we need to be doing to keep ourselves grounded, rooted in your truth. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 again says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Just like I said earlier, that word expressly is like that same idea of distinctly. And a lot of times, when we come to understanding really the Godhead, the Trinity, we understand God the Father, and then we can relate, obviously, understand God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is 100% God. We talked about that last week in the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh in Jesus Christ. But then there's a third part of the Trinity that I think if we're going to look at how much we understand about the Spirit of God, we probably understand the least about the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. And here we have a verse that says specifically that He is speaking, all right? It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly," or distinctly. So we need to make sure that we're listening to what the Spirit says. Well, how do we listen to the Spirit? It's not like it's going to be some wind blowing in your ear and giving you some understanding kind of a thing, or some esoteric or anything like that. No, it's very easy to understand. It's dealing with the Spirit is going to speak the things that He hears, which is the Word of God. Now, to give you the reference that deals with that first and foremost, I want you to go back to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in chapter 16. John chapter 16, and we're just going to look at verse 13. I mean, the context, this is before the Lord is going to be led away to be crucified and is giving some last-minute instructions and understanding to His disciples before that event takes place. And so in John chapter 16, it talks about the Spirit of truth. It talks about the Holy Spirit of God. And I want you to notice what it says here about the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, it says this, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Now, this is an incredible reference that deals with what one of the purposes of the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit of God. And what's interesting is because we need to understand that what the Spirit of God is doing is no different than what Jesus Christ is doing. When Jesus Christ, in His earthly ministry, He did not say anything, He did not heal anybody that God the Father did not want Him to say or to heal. Everything that Jesus Christ did was in completing the will of the Father. And so the Holy Spirit of God is the same thing. He's not coming up with His own word. He's not coming up with His own deal. I mean, He is God, but what is He doing? He's not speaking of His own. He's speaking the truth of the Word of God. That's why He's called the Spirit of truth. The Word of God is truth. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ says it Himself in John 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." All right? The Word of God is true, and He is the Spirit of truth. And what's He going to do according to this verse? He's going to guide you into all truth. Now, when it says that the Spirit of God speaketh expressly, distinctly, that means, you know what? We need to pay attention because what He is speaking is the truth of the Word of God.
And we need to make sure that we are fearing Him and applying the truth of the Word of God in our lives.
It talks about how He's going to guide you in all truth. And not only that, He will even show you things to come. You know, a lot of times people want to know what the future is. And so they want to know what the future is for them. You know, that's why you have a number of people that have their horoscopes, or they astrology, or they go to the soothsayers, or the that sort of thing. And so what's going to happen in the future? See, here, God's Word lays it out, and the Spirit of God is there to guide us into all truth and even show us that which is to come. And one of the things that is going to come, as we're seeing in our text today, is that unfortunately, there are going to be believers in Christ that are departing from the faith. Okay, He's not talking about lost people. Lost people are lost. They're not even saved. They don't have a relationship with God. What we're seeing, or going to see in detail a little bit more here in 1 Timothy 4, is that we're talking about believers that are departing from the faith. I want to give you another reference in talking about, again, the ministry of the Spirit of God before we move on. And for that, I want you to actually go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up actually in verse 12. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up in verse 12 and read down through verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. It says this: "Now we have received not the spirit of the world," small s. Again, that's part of those seducing spirits. He says, that's not what we received when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We received the Spirit, capital S, of God. Again, it says this in verse 12: "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." It's great. Absolutely, 100% free. We can learn and grow and understand anytime we want to. All we have to do is open up the Word of God. All right? The price has been paid in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is ready to freely give us the things of His Word. He goes on in verse 13 and says this: "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." That's one of our Bible study principles. Last week I talked about the importance of context, understanding everything in a context and what is written. But rule number two is really comparing the Word of God with the Word of God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The Word of God is a spiritual book. It is a living book. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 talks about the Word of God is quick and powerful. That word quick means it is living. It is a living book. You think you're reading the Word of God? The Word of God is reading you. All right? It is a living book. And the Spirit of God is there to teach us His Word. And He's going to do it by comparing the Word of God with the Word of God. That's why when I preach expositionally, or to expound, by doing what? I show you what a word means or a phrase means or what a passage means by comparing it with another passage in context. That's how we learn the Word of God. It defines itself. Again, from verse 13, it says this: "Which things also we speak, not as the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches." You see, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad those who are listening to me via Facebook or will listen to the message later on our website when I get it uploaded and all that. And hopefully you learn some things, but in reality, you're going to learn anything that has anything that's going to help you in your life now and for eternity is by listening to what the Holy Spirit teaches. I would hope that the Lord would so use me to be able to work through me and the things that He has laid out in my heart, my life, with the Word of God, and to be able to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God. But in reality, it's got to be the Holy Spirit of God that teaches you. Because in and of myself, I can't do anything. I can't help you out. It's got to be God working through us. And that's the same thing for any of us. As we talk about ministering the Word of God to somebody, we've got to trust that the Spirit of God is going to take the Word of God and to be able to teach others. That's the Holy Spirit's job to do. I can't make somebody believe. I can't make somebody understand the Word of God. It's only the Spirit of God that can do that. All right? Our job is to do what? Study to show ourselves approved unto God. a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, and the Spirit of God can work through us, through His word, to be able to teach others. Now, verse 14 is important before we move on back to 1 Timothy 4. In verse 14 here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this, but the contrast word. We talked about how we're going to learn the word of God by the Spirit of God teaching us. In verse 14 it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Right? That word discern, to be able to understand what's going on. It's like you cannot understand the Word of God without the Spirit of God teaching you. As you're coming to the Word of God in the natural man, and it doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how much you study the Word of God. If I decide, you know what, for next week's message, I am just going to rely upon myself. I'm not going to really study anything out. Oh God, I don't need you for this. I think I have enough time under my belt that I can just lay out some truth. No, we're not going to understand anything. And you're not going to get anything out of that. That's just a mess. And unfortunately, there's too much of that going on in the world. A lot of times people talk about, you know, I just don't understand the Bible. My question is, do you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Because it's through accepting Christ as your Savior, like we talked about last week, that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is there to teach you the Word of God. And so if you don't understand the Word of God, maybe let's back up and make sure, have you really personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because if you haven't, you don't have the key to understand this spiritual book. And that key is what? The Holy Spirit of God, which will teach you His Word. And He's got some things to teach you. That's why He speaks expressly or distinctly. Now let's go back to 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and continue on. What that is really just kind of laying the groundwork and a foundation of the importance of how we as believers in Christ have got to be studying and listening and allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach us through His Word is so important, because if we don't do that, we are all too susceptible to these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that's going to be talked about here. It says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And when I looked at this, I always found it interesting every time I reviewed this message this week. And it says, some shall depart from the faith. And it's like, Lord, how come you just said some? Because in other places, it talks about how many corrupt the Word of God. Actually, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, many corrupt the Word of God. But it says that some are going to depart from the faith. And I wonder how big that some is. Not S-U-M, but obviously S-O-M-E that is here. But I wonder about the S-U-M. How many people are going to depart from the faith in these latter days? Now, these latter days, it's like we always talk about, man, things are getting bad, and they are. But let me just biblically define for you these latter days. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, you know, God opens up in that book of Hebrews. Obviously, Paul is a human author there, but it says, you know, in sundry times, in old times, in diverse manners, that God spoke to us by the prophets. But then he goes on and says, but in these last days, has spoken to us by His Son. Well, these last days, when did the Lord come in human flesh and live and walk on this earth? 2,000 years ago. So these last days and these latter times are really the time that the Lord shows up in His earthly ministry. Yes, His death, burial, and resurrection, and ascended into heaven. But we've been in the latter times and the last days for some time now. So much so that people talk about, oh yeah, that will happen when Christ comes back, as some sort of proverb or something, like it's never going to happen. All right? But very clearly, the Spirit's saying that there are going to be some that depart from the faith. And the faith that we have is something that we have already really laid out last week at the end of 1 Timothy chapter 3. That, again, the mystery of godliness and understanding the gospel of grace and how we're saved and what the Lord really holds us accountable and requires of us. That's the faith, all right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God lays out His Word exactly what our faith as believers in Christ, the body of Christ, is today.
And unfortunately, there's going to be some that depart from the faith. You know why? Because they are not listening to what the Spirit of God is saying through the Word of God. If you are not grounded in truth, it is easy for you to believe a lie. That's why, unfortunately, a lot of religions, they like to keep people ignorant, not knowing truth. You know why? Because it's easier to control them. If you don't know what the truth is, it is easy for you to be deceived. Now it says this. Again, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. I want you to turn over to the book of 2 Timothy, just a couple pages over from where we're at in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, why don't you look at chapter 3. Excuse me. First off, in verse 1. For sake of time, I won't go through everything that's being laid out here. But I want to start off in chapter 3 and verse 1 because it says this. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And start talking about the kind of people that are in these last days and make up these perilous times. And if you're to go and start reading down through here, especially all the way down through verse 7, you'll see that the times that we are living in now are these perilous times. With all the crimes and all the things that are going on, yes, this, we are in these latter times or these last days. Now I want you to jump over to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, and we'll pick it up in verse 2 and read down through verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 2. Paul is telling Timothy, hey, what? Preach the word. That's what we're supposed to all be doing. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, and guess what? Doctrine. Such the key, so important. Something that churches do not focus on today is doctrine. What does the Word of God say for us? What's going to have us to be held accountable for? What we need to be doing? It's a lot more than just thinking that we need to love God and love one another, because that's generally the message that a lot of times churches just give today and not really deal with doctrine. But the Word of God has not changed. But he goes on in verse 3 and 4, says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, stories, lies, things just to make people feel good, but in reality is not true. And there's teachers out there. I mean, there's plenty of quote-unquote teachers that are out there that are ready to teach you whatever suits your lifestyle, whatever the case is. But it's not according to the truth of the Word of God. Is not according to what God or the Holy Spirit is speaking. I want you to go back to the book of Philippians real quick before we move on. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Actually, chapter 3. Excuse me. Chapter 3. We'll look down to verses 18 and 19. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Sorry about that. I want you to notice what Paul says here. Again, he's not talking about lost people. He's talking about those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They are heaven bound. But notice what he says. Philippians 3, verse 18. Here he says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now we're talking about destruction. We're not talking about them losing their salvation and going to hell. We're talking about when their work is judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and their work is nothing but wood, hay, and stubble that will be judged by the fire. There's nothing remaining of your work. You're saved. You're in heaven. But you're not ruling and reigning and sharing in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ like we talked about last week, because your work is of the flesh. Now, this is something that, again, is important to understand, because it's a message that's really not being heard a lot today. Most churches, I guarantee you, will talk about, you know, you accept Christ as your Savior, and then everything is going to be fine, you're going to be ruling and reigning, and so forth and so on, and you won't hear anything about a judgment seat of Christ. You may go to a pastor of a church and say, can you talk to me about the judgment seat of Christ and what that's all about? And they're like, I'm not for sure, maybe I have to study up on that, I'm not for sure about that. And the reason why I tell you that, because I have done that. And unfortunately, I have done that with somebody that is the first person I ever discipled in a church that we both belong to, where the discipleship even has the last lesson talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And years later, when we sit down to talk about these things, because I know they have departed in a lot of things, that was his answer to me. And this is somebody that was a very, very dear friend of mine. And my wife and I, we spent a lot of time with this couple, with this family. I mean, we were like that.
So when the Word of God says, as we need to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Yeah, that's a reality. I've had some close brothers and sisters in Christ that used to stand on truth, used to preach and teach the same thing that I'm preaching and teaching right now. But what they're preaching and teaching is far, far, far from that. And it's all because they want to have, we just want people to understand how God loves you. And yes, God does love you. But true biblical love, you cannot have that without truth. That's why Ephesians 4 and verse 15 talks about speaking the truth in love. The church has gotten this idea of kind of a worldly aspect of love. Yes, God loves you. And really, that is the bulk of their message. And we just want you to accept Christ. And I mean, all those things are good things. But the problem is, that's all they're focused on. And they're really leading people astray. Well, how does that happen? Spiritual warfare. Let's go back to it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. How? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So instead of listening and adhering to what the Spirit, capital S, is speaking distinctly from the Word of God, what they do is they start listening to what seducing spirits and to doctrines of devils. Something seduced, what is that? You're being enticed. I mean, it seems like this is going to be a good thing. Man, this is going to be awesome. Excuse me, that's what seducing is all about. It's not appealing to something that you hate. Like you say, Charles, I want you to go to dinner with me. And what we're going to have for dinner is a bunch of gizzards. Now, I know there's people out there that just love their gizzards. I'm not one of them. You trying to entice and seduce me to come to dinner by saying, we're going to give you a whole bunch of gizzards, it ain't happening. Or better yet, crawdads. I'm sorry. They're country lobsters digging in the dirt. I have never consumed a crawdad, and as long as I have my mental capacity, I will not eat a crawdad. You're not going to seduce me with a crawdad. Now you say, now Charles, I got this beautiful prime rib. Hey, working knife in hand, I'm ready. Something that's seducing is something that is appealing to you, appealing to your flesh. And there's a lot of seducing spirits. We're not talking about just some flowery language here. It is a reality that there are seducing spirits on Satan's side that's trying to lure you away from the truth of what the Holy Spirit of God is speaking. Because a lot of times, what is good for us
is not necessarily the most comfortable thing. When it comes to truth, a lot of times, I don't feel, but over here, this seems like I kind of did this. If you want to be spiritual, and you want to have a church to where you can just live your own life and then maybe go and, quote-unquote, confess your sins and say a few things and everything is fine and you can go on about your life and it doesn't affect your lifestyle whatsoever, but you want to be a little bit spiritual? Yeah, there's a lot of religions out there that are like that. Do whatever you want. We're not going to come down on you or anything like that, Just do this, that, and the other. You'll be fine. Well, that seems like a pretty good religion and church to me. Heard a joke one time. It was like, some guys at the place was like, yeah, I like my church, man. They never judge me. I don't feel uncomfortable or anything like that. It's like they don't require anything of me. The guy says, you're not in a church, you're in a bar. It's seducing. Sounds good. Doesn't ruffle my feathers. Doesn't step on my toes. Any good parent is going to discipline their child when they do what's wrong because they actually love them. They want to stop them from going down the wrong road. And God the Father is the same way. That's why you see where it talks about in the preaching and teaching the Word of God, where it talks about reprove and rebuke and instruction. Why? He wants us to be on the right path. He wants us to be able to have everything that He has for us for all of eternity and not to be led away by the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want you to turn back to the book of 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Just a few pages back from where we're at. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to pick it up in verse 13. Interesting enough. 13 in the Bible is a number of rebellion. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, it says this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What's that? Destruction. Right? God is going to judge them for that. But he says, all these false teachers, these false prophets, it's like, it's no marvel, it's no wonder why they are the way they are, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I don't have time to get into all of this, but I guarantee you, when Satan showed up to Eve in the garden, I know he's described as a serpent, but I bet you he was like an angel of light. If Jesus Christ came into this church right now, and Satan came in on the other side, we would have a hard time wondering who's who. Because that's how Satan works. Oh, that looks good. Oh, the things he's saying. In reality, he's a snake in the grass. He's a dragon. He's a deceiver. And his ministers are the same. They're seducing spirits and have these doctrines and these teachings of devils. It sounds good. Oh, it's even spiritual. It seems like it makes sense. Folks, there's times I have dreams and I'm preaching. And in my dream, I'm thinking, man, whoa, this is a great message. When I wake up and actually understand what I was preaching, I'm like, that's heresy. That's what Satan, it sounds good. And there's a lot of false teachers that are out there. Matter of fact, go back to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Just go a little bit further over to the right again. But this time, Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to look, and we're going to start in verse 12 and read down through verse 14. I'll be right before where I kind of quoted about speaking the truth in love in verse 15. Let's look before that. In Ephesians chapter 4, down in verse 12 through 14, it says this. This is why you have pastors and teachers and what they're supposed to be doing. We've talked about that this year as we came recently through 1 Timothy chapter 3. Why do you have pastors and teachers? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints,
for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, everything that we're trying to do here, not just for this year, but all the time. Why? Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people that are ready to deceive you that are out there. And they are just, man, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils are working through them to draw you away from what the Spirit speaketh expressly, distinctly, from the truth of the Word of God. And if you're not in a mode, if you're not being perfected, if you're not growing, that's why we have discipleship around here. That's why we encourage you to be here, to have that edification. That's why we encourage, when we're having Wednesday, to be there. Why? Because we want you to be perfected, to grow, to be solid, and that you know what the truth of the Word of God says, so that when the deceivers come, there is no way that you will be led astray. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, I spent a lot of time on verse 1, setting the groundwork for a lot of things, but we need to finish up in verse 2 and looking at the deception. Again, from verse 1 it says, for the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So we're talking about speaking lies in hypocrisy. We know what hypocrisy is. That is saying one thing, but doing the other. And they're speaking lies within that. Instead of speaking truth, they're speaking lies in hypocrisy. So the very thing that they are speaking, the very thing that they are teaching, when you look at their lives, it is absolutely something else that they're doing. We're called a hypocrite. Saying one thing and doing another. Well, this is even a little bit even more beyond that. Because what they're speaking is a lie, and then it's in part of how they live their life in hypocrisy. Now, the greatest example of this is dealing with religion. Remember, I talked about religion is something that is man-made. Man's idea of how to, quote unquote, worship or follow God, instead of understanding how to follow God through the truth of His Word that God laid out for us. That's what religion is. And I want you to go, first and foremost, to the father of lies. Of course, it's Satan. I want you to go back to the Gospel of John again, but this time in chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're just going to look in verse 44. The context, as you make your way there, the context of John chapter 8 is the Lord is speaking to, of course, the Pharisees and the scribes and so forth. And He's not cutting them any slack whatsoever. He's laying out exactly who their father is. And He's saying their father is the devil. They're talking about, oh, we follow Moses and keep the law and all this other stuff. But they had added so much of man's commandments, what they thought, to the law, that the law was null and void to these Pharisees and these scribes. And in John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Satan is a murderer, and he is a liar. He is the father of lies. And Jesus is literally telling these Pharisees, these religious ones, the word Pharisees means separated one. They thought they were better than everybody else. I mean, everybody else was born in sin, but they somehow were not born in sin. I mean, that's the kind of attitude that they had. That's the perspective that they had. And Jesus said, you know what? Here's the reality. You are of your father, the devil. He's a liar, and you are too. Jesus cuts them no slack whatsoever. If you want to see where the Lord, how He deals with those who lead people astray, man, I'm telling you, look at His interactions with the Pharisees. And it's like, and the reason why is because they lead others astray. And that's what we're talking about here from even in our doctrine in our time today. That's why we see this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's like they depart from the faith and then they deceive others by their lies in hypocrisy. That's what's so dangerous. You know, you talk about how a bad apple spoils the bunch. This is what we're talking about here spiritually. I want you to turn even back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. Again, the context is Jesus Christ dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes are those who copied out the Word of God. Their whole life, their profession was dealing with copying out and the study of the law. All right? And the Pharisees were part of that religious council, the Sanhedrin, that helped rule the nation of Israel in behalf of the Roman Empire. And so, in Matthew chapter 23, we don't have time, but I suggest, read the whole chapter. You talk about what would Jesus do. Well, this is what Jesus does in dealing with the religious. Has no tolerance for it. I want you to pick it up. Oh, interesting enough, verse 13. This is where He starts calling them hypocrites. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13, we're only going to read through verse 15 here. It says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Exclamation point. So it's not like Jesus said, "Hey, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Jesus wanted them to expressly know where they were at, how God sees them. Hypocrites! You're saying one thing, but you're doing something else. And not only that, you're leading others astray. Now let's see the rest of what this verse talks about. It says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer or allow ye them that are entering in to go in." So the ones that are getting ready to go in and accept the truth, the Pharisees, the scribes, they're, "Oh, no, I'm coming this way. Isn't what I'm saying a lot better? Isn't it nice and smooth?" He goes on in verse 14. It says, "Woe unto you," in case they didn't get it the first time, "scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Exclamation point. Jesus is not commonly saying this. He's coming after the religious heart. Why? What does it say in the rest of verse 14? "For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." This is why Jesus has no tolerance for the religious, for the liars, for the hypocrites. Because in reality, they're having long prayers and they seem all spiritual, but they're taking widows' money. They're stopping people to go in to hear the truth, to be part of the kingdom. Oh, that's not enough. Verse 15. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites!" Exclamation point again. "For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." It's like you're going to hell, and you're going to receive the greater damnation, but the proselyte that you get, they're twofold more than the child of hell. They are way worse off because of what of your lies and your hypocrisy that you have seduced them and said to them. This is why I want you to understand. People don't like to use the word hate. You know, so they hate this, hate that. David talks about in the book of Psalms, "Those who are wicked, I hate them with a perfect hatred." I'm saying going around hating everybody or anything like that. I'm not saying, but there are legitimate
causes and situations to where it is biblical to hate something with a perfect hatred. And how do you know that? Because it's something that is going against the Word of God and especially leading other people astray. For us as Christians who really want to try to reach people for Christ, do you know why our job is harder and harder and harder? Because of religious people that are hypocrites. They lie about the Word of God. They change the truth of the Word of God. They corrupt the Word of God, just like their father Satan, and they lead others astray. And there are an untold amount of people today that think they're fine when they die. But in reality, when they die, they will wake up in hell. Because they believe some religious hypocrite instead of the truth of the Word of God. And I stand here today and I say, I hate religion that deceives people from the truth of the Word of God. And I will not apologize for that. Because I've dealt with so many people, that I've shown them the truth of the Word of God. In the Word of God Himself. And they say, you know what? I see it, but I'm going to go ahead and believe what my family believes. Even though that it is wrong. I tell people, say, you know, I see the truth, but I'm too chicken to leave a church. And it's like, you're going to suffer if you don't change your mind and go to hell because of your family believes something wrong, because of a church that teaches something wrong. This is the truth of the Word of God. I've seen it too many times. And showing people the truth. Like, no, I can't do that. Because of what so-and-so says. This church says. My family believes this. Yeah, I see it in the Word of God, but no. That's why Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 23 says, scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, with an exclamation point. You go back to 1 Timothy, I need to finish up. In chapter 4, see the last phrase of verse 2. Finish up here. They depart from the faith. Instead of listening and adhering to the Spirit of God, teaching the Word of God, they depart from the faith because they're listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And if that's not enough, what do? It says in verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisies. They're going and they're teaching others the same deception to lead them astray. And it gets to a place that says, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Do you understand the imagery that is being laid out there? If your skin is seared with a hot iron, that means there's no feeling anymore in it. None. Their conscience is seared. It's totally opposite of what you see the Apostle Paul and what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Look at it real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Unfeigned. It's not fake. It's not hypocritical. But these people that depart from the faith, their conscience is seared with a hot iron. It's so bad they don't even know what's right and wrong anymore. We'll close with this passage. I want you to flip over to Titus chapter 1. So you have 1 Timothy, you have 2 Timothy, then Titus chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 10 through 16. It's more of a lengthier passage, but I want you to have the whole context of this. Because I can, and I purposely left out names of religions and churches. I don't want to unnecessarily offend somebody. I could easily do it. And there's a number of different churches that call themselves Christianity that I could have listed in everything that I've been talking about that is just like the Pharisees and the scribes that Jesus Christ dealt with. And I will say this, even includes, I could talk about Baptist churches that are in the same mode of other churches. That some of you know what I'm thinking about. Well, I can spend all day talking about some Baptist churches, some independent Baptist churches that are literally in the same mode of scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, leading people astray. Because why? They're not teaching the truth of the Word of God, they're teaching their legalism. and it drives people away from the truth of the Word of God. I spend all day on that because I've lived it. I've been in part of churches like that. And they've done as much equal. I can go to the same churches, the same pastors, and they'll talk about a certain organization and not realize and see it in themselves that they're doing the exact same thing. In Titus chapter 1, verse 10, after giving out the qualifications of a pastor, that Paul wants Titus to be able to ordain in every city. It says in verse 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision," the religious, "whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses." Man, I've seen this stuff, people. "Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." Just sow a seed of $1,000 into my ministry and watch God bless you. Have you heard that one? Oh, I've heard that a number of times. If you put this cardboard wallet in your back pocket and you sow a seed of $1,000 to my ministry, as you just live your life, just watch God fill up that wallet. No joke. No joke. I seen it. Dallas, Texas. I won't mention the name of the pastor. You can't call him a pastor. That's a false prophet. Verse 12. "One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars.'" That word "always" is an old English word. It's not always, but always, like all the way. Everything they say is nothing but a lie. If they're talking, they're lying. I'm sure you've heard that before. That's what the Cretans were. A prophet of their own said that. He got his own t-shirt. "Hey, you know what? Us Cretan prophets, guess what? We're liars. Here's your t-shirt." And he goes on and it says, "Evil beast, slow belly." Man, what a great testimony. "This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith." It's like God is still even reaching out to them. Hey, get it right, folks. Listen to the right spirit. Listen to the truth of the Word of God. It says in verse 14, "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." That is our problem that we have today in Christianity. Instead of preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God, we're preaching and teaching fables, stories, commandments of men that do nothing but turn people away from the truth. Absolutely no different than what Jesus Christ was dealing with the Pharisees. In verse 15, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." The word reprobate means you have no clue between what is right and wrong anymore. Last days? Are we in the last days? When's the last time you've seen somebody who does the right thing being called evil and being taken to court for it? When have you seen a person who does what's wrong out free? No consequences. There's any doubt you think that we're not in the last days, but we are. And it's a real spiritual warfare. And for us, the center of that warfare for us in Christianity is doctrine. It's the truth of the Word of God. And we have got to be grounded in the truth of the Word of God so that we are not seduced, led astray, led away, and so that we don't turn around and do the same with others. We see what Christ thinks about that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a couple of verses that get started in this chapter that deals with the importance of being grounded in the truth, grounded in doctrine. By the time we come to the end of this, Lord willing, if you don't call us home before then, we're going to see our need to understand this so that we are saved from deception. That's ultimately what this chapter is going to be laying out for us. The truth of your word and doctrine is so important. help us, Lord, if nobody got anything else from this, that they would get that we need to listen to your Holy Spirit of God to teach us the Word. Because there's other seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that are out there that want to lead us astray. Help this message to be a reality in our lives. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.